morning, 6:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola morning news, and just in case you have been paying attention to the storm, the now Tropical Depression 9, it will eventually be tropical storm and likely hurricane Hermine when it finally gets up enough speed as it passes over open water or even just gets going through the Gulf. The tracks have changed significantly overnight. They've gone from basically having us being at the center of a massive cone of uncertainty that stretched from Miami to Texas, essentially. It has now been much more congealed around like the east, well, the central west portion of the Florida main coast. Okay, so we're on the outside of the cone now. But as I keep saying, 12 hours can change that much. Therefore, 12 hours can change that much. Please be prepared. We're still a week away, but you know, it's never too late to get your shutters and make sure you know where they are and all the stuff. That's what Travis Tompkins was telling the board yesterday. He's the emergency manager for Escambia County. Is, hey, be prepared, which is what we always try to tell you. Joining us now, we have Commissioner Robert Bender, District 4 in Escambia County. Commissioner, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I know that to you, you know, you've been watching this. Obviously, you guys watch all this pretty carefully because the county has a lot to do if there happens to be a thing. Any of your thoughts as we're seeing this storm track seem to change pretty dramatically, the cold front starting to affect it and push it east, at least in the projections?
Yeah, so we actually have a meteorologist on staff that I was able to talk with this week. And looking at the models, you know, there's a cold front that's supposed to be coming through early this week, or at least that's when I last talked to her, which we thought was going to steer it. You know, of course, there are multiple models out there, and one of them has been fairly consistent along that southwest coast of Florida, while the other one has been bouncing everywhere. So, you know, I think they're more in agreement that it's that direction. Yeah, definitely keep an eye out, be prepared, and, you know, we still have a good ways to go in the season. So,
yeah, Yeah, no, you mentioned something that I heard you mention this yesterday in the meeting, and I had not been aware this happened. We hired a meteorologist. That's kind of unusual, right?
Yeah. Again, it's just adding to our resources, and I think part of it is because, you know, these models are everywhere that, I mean, you know, we talked earlier this year about, you know, we were getting issues of the severe weather and then it would fizzle out or something, you know, I mean, we still notifying people, but it's sometimes just good to have your own people that you can talk to and really see what they think is going on.
Yeah, makes sense. And what is her name? I thought it was something Lynn or...
Scotland. So, okay. Yep, not like the country, but no D and has an A anyway.
Very good.
Yeah.
The reason I wanted to have you on this morning is you were talking to Channel 3 the other day about a proposal. It's just a draft now, but I know it's the kind of thing that when people who own vacation rentals hear this, or even probably people who own regular rentals are worried, does this affect me, that you're working on an ordinance that would impose some fees on people who have basically short-term vacation home rentals. Why don't you tell me what the proposal is so that we can talk a little bit about it in case people hadn't heard the story on Channel 3?
Sure. It is not about limiting the ability to do short-term rental because I can't. And so this is really just providing a little bit of structure around it. One, there's a safety element. You know, you're surprised how many people modify their homes so that they can accommodate large groups. Really, this came out of some concern on the beach, and so I've been working with the Pensacola Beach Advocates who came to me and asked me to put something together. But I've also worked with Expedia, who gave me some options of other ordinances that had passed throughout the state that they thought would somewhat meet our needs. And all the concerns come from again. Safety, you know, are there fire extinguishers? Are the smoke alarms working? You know, registering with us to parking, trash, and noise, which are a lot of the issues that we're seeing.
Okay, the things we're concerned about are if you're going to have 20 people piled into a house, let's just make sure that they're doing that safely. Let's make sure they're not impacting on the neighbors. You know, we maybe can't stop the party house per se or control the short-term rental per se, but we can make sure that it's done in a way that, you know, is not going to damage either themselves or other people. That's the idea?
That's the idea. I mean, you think about it. So Airbnb last year tried to do the anti-party, you know, no party houses and things like that. You know, taking a big step in trying to reduce the partying at these homes. But you also have to think that, that there are a lot of people that, that don't use Airbnb or VRBO or even some of the larger rental agencies that, that we have on the beach and are either doing it themselves or, you know, have four or five of them that they do. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have, you know, that we have agencies out on Pensacola Beach that are doing a lot of what's already in the ordinance. And so again, it's not trying to target them. It's, you know, they've built relationships with the neighbors that the neighbors can call. So we would have a database that, that we have a responsible party that we can contact, when there are issues. And so, again, it's putting a little bit of structure around it, but again, it's not limiting their ability to rent. You know, there is something in there right now about limiting the number of people, and we're working through that. You know, is it based on square footage? The one that's in there right now says it's per bedroom plus an extra two. It's two per bedroom plus two, but there's been a lot of pushback on that, and so I think again, trying to work with both sides. And find something that, that we can do. So it taking some time getting a lot of input, because ultimately I want to put something forward that, you know, if needed, that everybody can at least agree with. And that was, you know, we had an industry expert that was at this meeting that the PBA called earlier this week. He thought it was a fair ordinance.
And the basic idea here is going to be that they have to they have to get registered, they have to have an inspection, then they have to pay a fee. It's what, annual, is that right? $500 to start and then $250 annual, something like that, just in order to be on the list, which is going to, you know, cover the cost of enforcing the ordinance. Is that basically the idea?
It is. It would pay for the inspection, and there would be an inspection. I think we have every 3 years, and so. Again, we looked at numerous ordinances throughout the state. Based on that, I know I tried to come down on the fees from what was initially given to me, because I'm not trying to make this about the money, but it is about safety. You know, right now our fire marshal can't go into these properties and inspect them. You know, we do want people to operate in a safe manner, and for the safety of the guests. But there are also other things. You know, I get calls that people don't know about the Leave No Trace ordinance. You know, we have it at walkways and things like that on Pensacola Beach, but they'll find some other trail. They go out there, they leave their tent and chairs, and they come back the next morning and they're gone, and they didn't know. So it would also a little upfront information about what we expect and some of the other ordinances and things that we have on the beach.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to seeing how this develops, and obviously we'll have more conversations about it at the commission. Yesterday, you guys added on an item to take Larry Downs off the Contractor Competency Board. I did some analysis on this earlier in the morning, and I kind of agree with the idea that he has expressed an unwillingness to, he doesn't agree with the idea of government regulation, which puts him at odds with the underlying process and principle of the Contractor Competency Board. On the other hand, I thought his recusals were okay. You expressed the idea that if he's going to recuse himself on those matters, that he would be recusing himself on other things that come before the board. But I thought Commissioner Underhill made a good point. He said, look, we're getting rid of the one guy who recused himself, not the eight guys who voted yes. Can you just maybe take a minute and explain your decision, you know, why it was appropriate to remove him?
You know, so I think one is that we do need a board member that can do the work. I mean, we almost lost quorum. I'm not saying it's just his fault, but because he was recusing himself that we didn't make quorum. You know, I likened it a little bit to, well, really what he said was, I can't be objective. And, you know, there are people that we know that come in front of us all the time, but we need to remain objective. And I think that's a big part of what I do is that, you know, focus on the issue, not the people. For me, I said, I likened it to trying to get out of jury duty, you know, and, which he said he's never tried to get out of jury duty, neither have I, but it just, you know, especially with all the cases that we have coming up, we need someone who can be involved. And, you know, it seems that, although he what he did do with banks, may have met the very minimum threshold. We're friends, and I did some work for him 7 years ago. As I said, it's a small town. Who haven't you done that for in an industry that you're a part of? So I just felt that it was best to find someone who could be objective.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is that he recused himself because he says he can't be objective. And it's not the fact that he recused himself if he can't be objective. That's the appropriate thing. It's that he doesn't think he can be objective, which means we need to find somebody who can be in there and consider himself to be objective and then make the votes when the cases come up. So that's kind of a nuanced reasoning, but I see where you're coming from on that.
That was me.
That?
Everybody has a love-hate relationship with Larry. As Steven said, we knew who he was when we put him on. So it had nothing to do with anything else other than I need somebody who can be objective.
Yeah, that's a slice of the explanation that I didn't get yesterday, so I appreciate that. Last thing is just a quick update. Where are we at in replacing the sailfish sign?
So they're working on it. It's Navy Boulevard. For those that don't know, it's the same people that did the fish house sign. That's worked really well for the last couple of years. I'd say early next year is time frame, and so I've had a couple people ask about it. So I've told them try to when they can post something or something like that to show the progress. I know everyone's interested, but looking forward to having a functioning new sign here shortly.
Outstanding. We all are. Just having one that works. Robert Bender, he's the commissioner for Escambia County District 4. That's the eastern half of the city of Pensacola, plus Pensacola Beach. Sir, thanks so much for the time this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.